Hackers don't need much. Just one leaked password can potentially unlock a treasure trove of personal information, leading to stress, pain, and permanently wrecked credit. Don't be an easy target. Get protection by Aura today. Aura protects your identity, finances, and family, all in one powerful app. Get real-time alerts, safeguard your accounts, and block scams before they happen. If identity theft strikes, we help you recover. Stay protected at Aura.com/listen. That's Aura.com/listen.
Hey, everybody, I'm Zach.
And I'm Jesse.
You're watching Tesla Time News.
Episode 457.
Oh, now you know. All right, so this is the Q1 2025 Tesla earnings call, which was supposed to be a company update. Who comes up with this on Twitter? Who gets to just say that's going to be a company update? It's always a company update. You're learning about what happened to the company.
That's the update part.
Yeah, so it was just a regular earnings call.
They didn't say it was going to be a major announcement. Right. And so, yeah, I fell for that. Everyone was like, oh, it's going to be a company
update. I was kind of afraid going into this that we might see actual losses this first quarter because let's just remember what happened in Q1, everyone, shall we? Up until February, there was something called the Model Y, which was the best-selling car in the world. And it remained the best-selling car in the world as Tesla transitioned to a new refresh Model Y at four factories throughout the world all at the same time. And within 8 weeks, they went from the number one selling car being produced at a certain amount to back to that amount in 8 weeks. No other car company's ever done that before. And you're not going to hear about this in legacy media. They're not going to tell you how amazing this is. They're going to ignore all that. But that's what Tesla did. And so Q1 wasn't a great quarter because during that ramp, there's something called the Osborne effect, which means you don't want to buy the old thing that the company makes if they're coming out with a new better thing.
Right. And yet they were able to sell all of their inventory Model Ys. So that's great. Also, what happened during Q1, there was a new president of the United States that half the country, of course, hates his guts. And Elon Musk was in charge of Doge. And as I think he put it really well, he says that there's never a dull moment. And then he said that basically at Doge, he's been cutting the waste and the fraud. And he said basically the people who are organizing to attack him are the people who have been benefiting from the waste and the fraud and would like it to continue.
The good news for those of you who want Elon to get back onto the Tesla ship is he said that basically next month, Elon is going to begin putting his time back into Tesla more and Doge less. He said that basically it'll be like a day or two per week on Doge, the rest of the time on Tesla, whereas right now it's pretty much all on Doge. So if that makes you feel better that he'll be really focusing on Tesla, that's great. He also reminded us that Tesla's gone through many crises and near-death experiences, he said a dozen times before, and that this is not one of those times, not even close, even though in Q1 there were bombings and all sorts of destruction of Teslas throughout the country. And it did affect sales. It did in certain places mean that people were less likely to buy a Tesla. So while all that was happening, they were still profitable and they added $0.4 billion to their cash. So even though it wasn't the greatest quarter, everything's going pretty well, especially in their energy division, which they had the best revenue so far, which we kind of forget that they're also an energy company.
Right. Well, that's because so many people are so busy talking about the cars.
Exactly.
Which we're going to get into. Selling cars is not going to be Tesla's business going forward.
One thing I was glad to hear was that there is no backing down on Robotaxi coming to Austin in June. I thought, hey, maybe they'll just push it off a few months.
Right.
But they didn't.
And then he said it's very scalable to go on to the next city once Austin is successful. Later on in the call, there was actually a really good question around, you know, can you just scale this to any city? And I was really glad to hear that they are going to have regional parameters. This is something that I have said before, where we don't all drive the same in this great country of ours. We're called mass holes up here in Massachusetts for good reason. And, you know, people who drive in California are different and we get all sorts of different kinds of weather. That means that you and I can both drive on pretty much any road in the country, but I might be better driving in Boston and you might be better driving wherever you live. Tesla is going to incorporate that into its full self-driving where the parameters are going to be different depending on where it's driving.
Wait, so they've misprogrammed all their cars?
Ooh, this is the interesting point here. The localized parameters, they've basically learned this by doing China. China is obviously a whole different country.
This is a whole other country.
They have learned that they can take their generalized approach to driving, right? Okay. They have basically a trained AI driver and you teach it what Chinese road signs are. You give it a few different parameters of, you know, how to be either more aggressive or less aggressive, and it will be able to drive in China, which they have successfully been able to do.
Right.
So when people are like, well, it's never going to be able to drive up in Minnesota, not true, because they're able to make it drive in China.
Okay, but then what's the localized approach? I don't understand. So like in the beginning, it'll drive in Austin because Austin doesn't have a lot of bad weather.
Right.
And then they won't really focus on, say, Boston.
That's kind of what they were saying. They're going to kind of work through it, you know, from probably least difficult to most difficult, of course, a thing that you would do. And those localized parameters are not retraining the entire model.
Oh, but I see. AI. So once you do figure out how to drive, let's say, in a snowy city, then you can turn on all the snowy cities.
It's kind of like when you're giving advice to someone who's driving through, say, a snowstorm. You're like, don't slam on the brakes, you know, don't turn too fast. Those are like localized parameters for, say, driving in a snowstorm. That's what Tesla is working on, and I'm really glad to hear it because obviously driving in different places requires a slightly different driver.
Then Elon just reminded us that they're making good progress on Optimus, but he reminded people during the call that this is still a new product. It's not like going to mass scale right away.
It's in development.
It's in development, so they've got to be working out problems. The good thing, though, is because he's so fast, I thought that meant, oh, they're going to push that back a few years. No, he said he's still confident that they're going to have thousands of Optimi working in Tesla factories by the end of this year, doing useful work. And he did remind us that he thinks you can scale Optimus faster than any product in history. He hopes to get to millions of units per year, and he's confident that they can get to 1 million units per year in 5 years. So that's really good news to hear.
That's exciting. Because again, Tesla is a company, right? Yeah, I know, car company. No. It's a company. And if they sell robots, then they will also be a robot company.
Exactly. And they're also an energy company. I know those big white boxes are boring, but this is amazing to me. You got utility companies. Their whole job is to make energy, sell energy, right? And yet they haven't realized yet, they're just starting to, that megapacks allow them to increase the energy output per year of the things they already have, the plants. And they're just realizing it now. So they're putting in their orders. And Elon said he thinks that they can get to terawatts of megapacks per year soon. So again, as he's predicted over the years, energy division will become bigger than their auto division.
Yep.
Just good to hear. But let's be negative, shall we? And Elon did then remind everyone before they got to the questions from Say that sustainable abundance for all is kind of his new favorite phrase. Sustainable abundance for all.
That's the goal that he wants to get to.
Yeah. He said it's going to be a happy future, the closest thing to heaven on earth. How many times do you hear a CEO tell everyone at the earnings call, hey, how about heaven on earth?
Well, normally, a CEO can only be like, and we should hopefully double the number of widgets that we make.
I just want to remind everyone that other companies like, let's say, GM, that had their best-selling EV, which was called the Bolt, they wanted to start a new version of that, right? And where's that? I haven't seen that on the road. Where's
right.
that?
They stopped selling the Bolt.
Right, but I mean, it only took Tesla one quarter to go from old to new. So why didn't GM do that? Because it's hard. Because it's really hard.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, let's go to the Say questions. Some of them are good. What are the highest risk items on the critical path to robotaxi launch and scaling? I don't know. They didn't really answer that question, did
No,
they?
There's a lot of, this is a very long call. There was a lot of talking, a lot of fun banter back and forth between all the members of the Tesla C-suite. Validation seemed to be the biggest risk to critical path. They don't say that it's the risk. That's, you could read it that way.
I think the problem is that, yeah, there's so many miles that it takes to get to where someone actually takes over an FSD. For those of you who don't drive it, I get it. It's gotten so good now that Jesse and I are actually surprised when there is a problem. Mm-hmm. It used to be the opposite. We were surprised when we're like, hey, there wasn't a problem for the past 10 minutes.
Right.
Now it's the opposite. So the problem they're having now is it can go 1,000 miles, 10,000 miles before it actually has an intervention, meaning they don't get any data until there's a problem.
Right.
Is that fair to say?
And so it's harder for them to test because it's like if you were testing something and then all of a sudden there were no data points.
Right.
And you're like, but I don't understand. We're doing the same test. And it's like, right. It's just because the thing that you're testing has gotten good at avoiding creating data points for you.
And so they actually have QA, quality assurance convoys of Teslas driving around, you know, from Gigafactory to Austin, And they're just looking for data. They're just hoping something goes wrong so that they can be like, oh, good. Well, that's what's wrong.
I think that right now Tesla is highly focused on Austin. They're not mapping it. They're becoming an Austin driver. So that's going to basically be the base of Tesla drivers. Now, obviously, they're getting information from everywhere, but they're going to make sure that it works in Austin first, and then they're going to start working on other places. I think that if any of my testing is to be believed, that other places are harder to drive in than Austin, Texas.
Yes.
Up in here in Massachusetts, it might be a little bit harder and they might actually learn faster in some of these harder markets. But again, they're going to aim for the easy place to drive.
Did I also hear Lars in answering this question say something about Cybercab coming next year? Like that the machines are going in and they're getting ready for that?
Yes. So, and Elon wanted everyone to know that there's a difference between robo-taxi and cyber cab. So it's kind of like a square and a rectangle.
Every square is a rectangle.
Every square is a rectangle, but not every rectangle is a square. So robo-taxi can be the Model Y, the Model S, the Model 3.
Cybertruck.
He didn't say Cybertruck when he was giving the example.
Interesting.
But, you know, I think
it has
he could
the
assume.
AI4 hardware.
I think you could assume it could work as a robo-taxi. The cyber cab is the actual cyber cab, which will be a robo-taxi.
Confused right. So, so if you have a Model Y, for instance, a fairly late Model Y, I would guess that could be turned on as a robo-taxi.
Robo-taxis.
Now, the next question from Say was, when will FSD unsupervised be available for personal use on personally owned cars? Unsupervised meaning not the one we have now, but FSD where you can go to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And Elon said he's confident before the end of this year, in several cities in the U.S., there will be FSD unsupervised. I don't think it'll be high numbers of those cars. I think Tesla's going to look at individual drivers and be like, who do we think are people we want to give this to? But
that's the thing, though. As soon as it's not supervised,
agreed,
it doesn't matter who you give it to. You could give it to a dog. You could say, good boy, Fido.
So
here's
maybe
full self-driving.
So and maybe what he meant was several cities being really safe driving cities.
I think it's going to probably
not be Boston.
It's not going to be Boston. It's going to be Phoenix, Arizona, Las Vegas, probably, maybe Austin, Texas, definitely.
Help me with this next question. Is Tesla still on track for releasing more affordable models this year? Or will you be focusing on simplified versions to enhance affordability, similar to the rear-wheel drive Cybertruck?
Yeah. Oh boy, did they not want to answer this question.
They did. They talked around this. So I don't think
they word saladed this up because they don't want to say that they're going to make cheaper Model Ys and cheaper Model 3s. I think that that's what they're saying. Basically, Lars said that they're going to be making more cheaper variants. There is not going to be a Model 2, but there will be a cheaper Model 3 is what I am reading between the lines. About.
Right. Now, we may be wrong. If you understood that word salad better than we did, comment down below. All right. Next question was, does Tesla see robotaxi as a winner take most market? And as you approach the Austin launch, how do you expect to compare against Waymo's offering, especially regarding pricing, geofencing, and regulatory flexibility?
And Elon has a wonderful way of answering questions sometimes. He said that Waymo cars cost Waymo money because they do. He said that basically a Tesla costs about 25% of what a Waymo costs in high volume. Waymo doesn't create their cars in high volume. First of all, they buy a car from somebody else. So you're already out the cost of an entire car.
Right. Then like you a
have
Jaguar.
Then you have to put all the sensor suite on. And it's not like Tesla where it's 8 cameras. It's LiDARs, giant
He didn't even mention how many more watts theirs uses.
Oh, I mean, it's insane the difference.
And he said, I don't see anyone being able to compete with Tesla at present. Tesla will have 99% market share at present. Now, he did say maybe down the road, someone will be able to compete better. But in short term, no. And he even predicted something else he said is going to happen before the end of this year. He said this year, a Model Y will drive all the way to the customer from either Fremont or Giga Texas. So that's pretty cool. That would be like a fun video to see.
Let's just be clear, though. He said a Model Y, not all Model Ys. That means probably within
San Francisco. Someone who lives within a block.
within Austin, Texas, because they did say several cities.
Gotcha.
So they're focusing on the cities. They're not mapping them, but we do know that they're doing the parameters. The question for me is, what do they mean by cities? Is it going to be Austin as it is known geographically, or is it greater Austin? Is it all of Texas? That's a big question that I think a lot of people are going to want to know the answer to.
This question about tariffs, how is Tesla positioning itself to flexibly adapt to global economic risks in the form of tariffs, political biases, etc.? They talked a lot about localization. Like in China, they are 95% localized. They talked about the fact that they're building the biggest lithium refinery outside of China in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of talk about how they are vertically integrated and they're the best able to withstand the tariffs.
Mm-hmm.
But Elon did talk about the fact that he has told President Trump that he would like to have as low tariffs as possible and free trade as much as possible, but that he is only one of many advisors to the president.
Elon did a really good job of threading the needle on that one. He's very anti-tariffs, which makes sense. He's a businessman. As a Tesla shareholder, that's really nice that he's able to express those views to President Trump without ruining the relationship, which might negatively affect Tesla. Right. So he walked a very fine line on the
tariff. He kept deferring to the president, saying he's the one in charge. He's the one elected. Bonnie Eggleston, who is the senior director of the 4680 cell, did point out something pretty cool. I think that gets lost, which is Tesla now has the lowest cost per kilowatt hour cell in North America. So that's pretty cool. This was interesting. The question was, does Tesla still have a battery supply constraint noted on the Q4 earnings call? And how does this change with tariffs? And they did mention that they are not battery constrained for the vehicles now. So they've gotten up to enough ramp to handle the vehicles. It's just now storage that where they're a little bit constrained and they have to keep buying Chinese cells.
Now it's time to come to the analysts' questions. These are the...
Can I take like a little nap or something?
No, we got to finish the show. I know,
but the analyst questions are so boring.
Well, okay. Well, why don't you take a magic mind?
Oh, that's a good idea.
Get you kind of back up to snuff without having to take a coffee, huh?
All right, I'll be back in a minute.
All right. Some days my brain feels like it's doing too much, because it is.
Between working on Tesla Time News, disruptive investing, and now let's review, we're jumping from one thing to the next. By the afternoon, I'm tired, unfocused, and everything kind of feels foggy. So I want to stay sharp and get things done, but it's just hard to keep up sometimes.
We juggle a lot with Tesla Time News. Now we adventure, now we build.
Magic Mind is the one thing that helps me lock in and stay sharp without a crash. So since adding it to my routine, I'm getting more done, I'm feeling more in control, and my work just flows. If you're trying to stay on top of a busy brain, this is a game changer.
Who knew this tiny shot would make such a difference?
Magic Mind is a game changer.
Take one shot in the morning or before you need instant access to mental performance. It's become the best part of my morning ritual.
Check it out for yourself with the Mental Wealth 14-Day Challenge, an investment for a sharper mind, calm energy, and reduced stress.
This campaign is not about quick fixes, but about building long-term habits that set you up for mental success.
The Magic Mind Mental Performance Shot helps support essential elements that can optimize your brain and promote a balanced mood and motivation over time.
Scientifically designed, Magic Mind is a unique blend of 12 active ingredients designed to support focus, mood, and energy.
Real ingredients like matcha green tea, nootropics, adaptogens, and mushrooms.
We would 100% recommend that you include this in your day-to-day if you're like us and have so many things to juggle on a regular basis. It's a game changer.
So sign up for a subscription and get a sweet discount in the description below or with the QR code on screen.
Use our code at the link below to get 50% off your first subscription for the next 10 days or 20% off for a one-time purchase.
And thank you to Magic Mind for sponsoring the show. All right, so if we have to cover the questions from analysts, well, let's start with Pierre Farragut from New Street. He asked this very interesting question, which I thought Elon answered very well as well. Mm. So he said the Model 3 and the Model Y, they're like the iPhone of cars. Mm. The iPhone took over 60% of the market. Why did the Model 3 and the Model Y only take over 15% of the addressable market?
And Elon answered this by, well, it's not an iPhone, like we're in a different market. He basically said most people are not going to buy cars in the future.
Right. He said most manufacturers back in the day made 100 different flip phone designs, and that was a mistake. Manufacturers were supposed to not make flip phones. They were supposed to make iPhones. So while they all worked on like the right color and the right, oh, what does that feel like? The smart manufacturers went into making smartphones and left the Nokias and the Blackberries behind.
And this brings us back to Robotaxi, because the Model 3 and the Model Y, very amazing cars from the perspective of someone who's going to drive a car. But once they drive themselves, isn't that what you want? It's kind of like, oh, this flip phone's really good. It's like, no, wouldn't you rather have a smartphone? I think that Pierre Farragut is wrong in the sense that the Model 3 is not the iPhone of cars.
Right. It's not there yet. It's the flip phone.
It's the Model 3.
It's the flip phone of landlines.
Yeah, it's the nicest flip phone.
Right.
But basically that the Model 3 is the iPhone of cars once it fully self-drives.
Exactly.
And it can pick you up. It can pick up your grandmother from the airport. It can pick up your dog and drive it to get groomed. I mean, there's a bajillion use cases for it.
So Canaccord had this really interesting question about FSD pricing, supervised versus unsupervised. So Tesla CFO basically said that the current pricing is too cheap.
Right. And Elon kind of, he likes to add color to things. And he added some here. He said that basically going forward, he said, they're going to allow you to do more stuff in the car while it's driving you around. He said that right now it's very strict. So if you take out your phone while you're driving on full self-driving supervised, it's going to nag you to tell you to put your phone away because you're supposed to be supervising the car.
Okay.
And that makes it not so valuable. Okay. It's nice to have a chauffeur, but because you have to be supervising it the whole time, you can't do all the things that you want. And he said, like in a normal car, people are, you know, shaving, they're eating, they're texting their friends, obviously.
While they're driving.
And so full self-driving, supervised. Right now, it's just not that valuable because you can't do anything else while the car is driving itself.
Right. But he's going to allow you to start doing more stuff while you're in FSD supervised?
He kind of made it sound like that. Yes.
Okay. So what he implied then, I guess, was as it lets you do more things, then it's going to get to be more valuable. I don't know if NHTSA is going to allow him to do that.
It's a really good question because it gets into this point of like whether it's of, you know, level 2 or level 4 or level 3 version of a full self-driving system.
But he said we're going to relax the nagging every couple weeks, and it's profound when you can do whatever you want. Now, yes. I get that when you get to unsupervised, but how are they going to let you do more and more if you're supposed to be busy like driving? You're still the driver.
It feels like it should be a binary, right? Like it feels like it should be that one day you get in your car and it says, guess what? Either all the cars in the country now have FSD unsupervised, or hey, you live in Austin, Texas, so you can go to sleep now.
Maybe we've been living in this world where we just think there's level 2, there's level 3, there's level 4, and we really live in a world where there's 2.1, there's 2.7, there's 3.2.
There might be. I don't know. I don't know why he said that, because why would you relax the nagging? Would it only be for certain circumstances? Like if you were getting on a high, because I mean, this would make sense. If you're driving with your 16-year-old, right? You're going to be pretty relaxed when they're like on a highway. Empty highway, right? You're not going to be as focused. When they're taking an interchange in the middle of rush hour traffic, you're probably going to be like, I shouldn't be, you know, texting right now.
And I would believe that answer, except that he said, we're going to relax the nagging every couple weeks. Yeah. So anyway, I need your help. I mean, down in the comments, please let me know if you think they're actually going to do this. And then as the weeks go on, we should be talking about it on TTN to see if we're noticing any bigger
to
spacing.
See if we can do texting while it drives.
Exactly.
Okay. So then they were supposed to go to Adam Jonas, and Adam Jonas couldn't figure out how to unmute his microphone. So they went on to Wells Fargo. The Wells Fargo guy.
Yeah, Colin was like.
I guess he didn't expect to be called on.
No, he did, but he didn't know how the cars work.
He sounds like a moron. He was like, so everyone in the autonomous driving car industry, which I don't know what the hell that means. It doesn't think that vision only can work.
Yeah, he said vision only has a problem. Sun glare, fog, and dust. And so Elon had to school him and basically say, we solved the sun glare problem a while ago. It doesn't blind the camera because we're doing a direct photon count. So he said, when you see an image, it looks bad and blown out and full of noise.
Because it's been processed.
Exactly. So that's post-processor. That washes things out and it adds noise. We had a breakthrough where we did direct photon count and we bypassed the signal processor. So we can drive straight at the sun, or the opposite, at night when you can barely see as a driver, it sees a lot better. Now, he did admit that fog is a problem because that's a physical thing in the way of the camera. And he said it's about as good as people can be, maybe better. But you have to admit, if it gets super foggy someplace, you can't drive because no one else can drive. Like you can't expect to drive down the road and not get hit by someone else.
Could you put an X-ray gun on it and be able to see, you know, maybe. I think that people kind of miss the point.
Yeah.
When they're just like, but I mean, what about this and what about that? Also, LiDAR does not work in fog.
No.
So that whole idea is completely bunk as well.
When Adam Jonas did finally figure out how to hit the mute button on his Zoom call, he asked about Elon being on Joe Rogan, talking about ramping in tariffs. And I think he wanted to get him in like a gotcha moment. And Elon basically said, look, I'm one of many advisors to the president. I advocate for predictable tariff structures, but at the end of the day, it's up to the president to decide. And Adam was like, all right, good answer. And then Adam asked Elon, between China and the U.S., who is more advanced on AI, humanoid robots, and drones?
And Elon had a pretty interesting answer. He said, you know the answer with drones. Basically, China makes all the drones. We don't even make our own drones, which can be a problem geopolitically. So Elon obviously wants to change that. He even said, his friend Naval on X said, any country that cannot make its own drones is going to be the vassal of the other country that can make its drones.
Right. And he's been saying that for a while. When it comes to humanoid robots, Elon said, I think that Tesla is number one, and that maybe the number 2 through number 10 companies will be Chinese, but we hope to be number one. And he said he thinks SpaceX is also number one. So good answer.
Kind of not a businessy question, Adam Jonas. I don't know. That was kind of a weird one for me. But overall, this was an earnings call. Was it the amazing trapeze and elephants standing on, Ball's company announcement that everyone thought?
I mean,
it was
let's
going
not forget that this was, We Robot, in August of last year, whatever. Yes. And so the next two earnings calls were just like, what?
Yes.
We just saw dancing robots. So this quarter, with things not doing as well financially, like I can see that things, are like dampened. But, we're recording this on a Tuesday night. How do you think the market's going to react tomorrow morning or this morning as you watch this?
I had a bit of a look at the aftermarket stuff. It was trending up, but I'm sure they're coming in with the pile driver. I also scrolled down just a little bit and I started to see all the headlines of like Tesla 20% on their vehicles, blah, 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 blah. So you know that the FUD wave is coming and they've been printing these stories in advance.
Oh, yeah.
So that way, when the stock goes down because some big fund probably just dumps it all, everyone's going to be like, oh my gosh, I should have been paying attention for 3 days. I didn't even know that the earnings call was going to be in the blah, blah, blah. Just take a big deep breath.
Yeah. And maybe join us over on Patreon in our investor club where we talk about this stuff all the time.
And you know that if I'm saying it's probably going to go down, then it's going to go up. So I don't even know what to do. I feel like every earnings call, whatever I think is going to happen is the opposite. So I actually know how Jim Cramer feels. But luckily, it only happens 4 times a year for me. On the long term, I have been right about Tesla and I can at least go to sleep, looking at my portfolio, knowing that that's the case. And thank you to Magic Mind for sponsoring this episode. It's not about quick fixes, but about building long-term habits that set you up for mental success.
So sign up for a subscription and get the discount in the description below or with the QR code on the screen.
Use our code at the link below to get 50% off your first subscription for the next 10 days or 20% off for a one-time purchase.
We'll see you guys next time. Now you know.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair has got style tips for every home. This is Nicole Byer, helping you make those rooms flyer. Today's style tip, when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild! Like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Ooh, fierce! This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.